Grace and peace to you from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. In the season of Epiphany, we are brought to see the revelation of Christ unfolding in the Scriptures and how that revelation of Christ spills out into the lives of the church. Now, the church in Corinth did not have the best reputation. Corinth itself was known for its sexual immorality, religious diversity, and corruption. And the church that Paul had planted there faltered and fractured in the face of the temptations that surrounded them. Several self-appointed teachers rose up within the congregation and began to teach their own doctrine and made what they pleased of the gospel, the sacrament, and faith itself. One appealing to the authority of Paul, another to Apollos, still another to Peter, and another to Christ himself. Yet what they taught was contrary to the faith that had been handed down, and all they did was break up the unity of doctrine and cause division among the believers. Soon the whole church in Corinth was caught up and split into factions and began fighting amongst themselves. And in the midst of it all, the truth of Christ's salvation was lost. The light that once beamed in the darkness of Corinth had been reduced to a glowing wick. Therefore, when Paul heard of their fighting, he wrote to them, urging them to be one in faith and in love. He rebuked and condemned the wisdom of man which fractured the church and refocused them on Christ crucified, the wisdom and power of God. For this was the gospel that Paul was sent to preach, as Christ himself came not to cast out demons and heal the sick, although that was part of his ministry, but he came to preach the good news of the kingdom to all people. So Paul reminds them, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. This is the love that Christ has for us. This is the love that drove him to the cross to suffer and die for the sins of the world. And as his saints, as ones who have been redeemed and set apart by Christ for his own purposes, this love should spill out into our own lives as well, both as individuals and as the church. So how have we been loving? How does our love measure up? Do we love as we should? Or are we like that congregation on Corinth? Do we falter and fracture in the face of temptations to sin and of Satan and of the world? Or do we endure all things? Do we listen to the wisdom of man? Or do we rejoice in the truth? Do we puff ourselves up with our own arrogance? Or are we patient and kind towards one another? Because we are not only called to be one in faith and in love on Sunday mornings, but ultimately we are called to be one in faith and in love with Christ at all times. That includes believing and speaking Christ's word continually. Yet this is not a very easy task when the darkness is overbearing. And indeed, the darkness presses in around us from every side, even from within. The temptation is great to be quiet or to give in and compromise. It doesn't take much to see this darkness, to see how the whispers of Satan and the wisdom of man seek to undermine the wisdom of God. We've all studied the Catechism. We know God's commandments. And yet, for example, we've seen much of one of the darkest evils celebrated in the news recently, about states making or promising to make it even easier to kill our children through abortion. And as the church tries to speak out on behalf of these innocents who are brutally and wickedly murdered, we are shamed and shut down. We are told that it is a matter of politics and not of faith, or that it's about women's rights and reproductive health, or that this child is not actually a life until a certain point in their development, or that we simply make too much of this sin. But these are all lies. Lies of Satan that are whispered into our ears and hearts to silence God's word, or to even encourage us to participate in Satan's despising of every human life, even as he tries to destroy us. This is not love. But the reason Satan tries to destroy us is because each and every one of us is precious to God. God's word gives a clear confession of this, and even science doesn't agree with Satan's lies. Science reveals what God has designed, that when a child is conceived, the DNA of the father and the DNA of the mother join together to form a unique individual, even from the moment of conception. And in our Old Testament reading today, we have God telling Jeremiah that God knew Jeremiah when God himself formed him in the womb and consecrated him before he was even born. And our psalmist cries out that he has leaned upon God from before his birth, and God himself has taken him from the womb. We know by faith that every child, in the womb or out, is a person for whom Christ suffered and died, and that no one has the right to end their life but God alone. But abortion isn't the only evil we see when we turn on the news. We see people hating one another in all kinds of ways because they look different, they act different, they think different, they speak different, they believe different, they vote different. Simply because they are different. We see people rejecting the authority that God has placed over them. Or we see them rejecting the design that God has given for his creation. Or we even see them rejecting the very nature of their bodies that God has given. And we see the division that it causes, even within the church. When we insist on our own way, it does not produce unity and faith or love, but it only produces division and hatred. Oftentimes, these things are even done in the name of Christ, but they are not according to the faith that Christ has given, of Christ crucified for the sins of the world. Instead, they are taught by self-appointed teachers who rise up within the body of Christ to teach their own doctrine and to make what they please of the gospel, the sacraments, and the faith itself. And honestly, we don't even have to turn on the news to see much of this. We only have to look in the mirror. In our sin, we are full of hate and not of love. The truth is, we are full of sin. In our sin, we do not care about other people. Our sin insists on its own way. And when we insist on our own way, we only cause division and hurt in the body of Christ and in the world. When we insist on our own way and not the way of Christ, the beaming light that we are called to be becomes nothing more than a glowing wick, as the world sees the hypocrisy of our faith. And still, there is a more excellent way, the way of love. So thanks be to God that his love does not end. Even when we give in to those temptations to be silent or to compromise, we know that the love of God in Christ endures all things. Even when we fail to love by speaking or believing the Word of God and all it says, we know that the love of God in Christ bears all things and endures all things. Even when we sin over and over again, we know that the love of God in Christ is not irritable or resentful. And when we confess our sins before Him, He is patient and kind to forgive us. Having been forgiven, He has set us aside for His own purpose, to love one another by proclaiming His word and striving for His kingdom, that His justice may be made known throughout all the earth. So let us be controlled by that love of Christ, not insisting in our own way, not insisting on the way of sin, but by loving others as He loved us, by speaking His word without fear, including defending those who are not able to speak for themselves, all the while knowing that as we speak the truth of His word, we will face temptations of sin, Satan, and the world to be silent or to compromise our faith. But we also know that that very love which compels us to speak and act has already decisively defeated Satan and sin on the cross and in the empty tomb. So let us be patient toward one another and those who do not know or understand His word, but teach it to them and teach them the truth in a kind manner. Let us not think more of ourselves than we ought, but to acknowledge that all the good we have comes from the Lord. Let us rejoice in the truth of Christ, being unashamed to shine His light in a darkened world. Let us bear all things, believe all things, hope all things, and endure all things as we cling to and proclaim that very word of Christ to all who will listen. Let us be of one faith and one love as we shine so brightly that all who need the Savior in this darkened world may know where He is found. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.